I'm glad God can forget, but aren't you also glad that He can remember? We need to be glad that He can forget because we make mistakes that need to be forgotten. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, do things we shouldn't do, and even think thoughts we shouldn't think. And God does not forget those until we make them right in His sight, but thanks be to Him, when we make them right, He not only forgives, He forgets. Not that easy sometimes for us to forget and to forgive one another and even to forget and forgive ourselves. But God forgives and God forgets. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8, verse 12, 10, verse 17, even from the Old Testament this principle comes. This morning I want us to think about the other side of God, that God remembers. And I'm so glad He does. In Nehemiah 5:19, Nehemiah said, "Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." I want you to concentrate for just a few minutes on the first part of that verse. Six words: "Remember me, my God, for good." What does Nehemiah have in mind when he uses those two little words, "for good"? Perhaps a part of the answer comes when we understand the setting from which this verse comes. Most of you will remember that Nehemiah was one of the leaders of the children of Israel as they came back from bondage and came back to, in a sense, repossess Jerusalem, came back to Judea, there to rebuild the temple, there to build the walls, there to go back to the pattern of worship that they had had before the captivity came. Nehemiah, along with Zerubbabel and Ezra and others, was very much involved in the leadership of the children of Israel at this time. And seemingly, he was not appreciated very much by the children of Israel. At least at this particular time in chapter 5, it seems that they did not appreciate him for what he was doing. And maybe even complained and murmured, as people are prone to do, as the children of Israel did, and as we sometimes do. And no doubt he felt a little bit sad, maybe not appreciated like he should have been for what he was doing. But he turned to God, knowing that God would remember. And he said, "Remember me, my God, for good." I want you to think about three things this morning that may very well be in these two words, "for good," as God remembers. It may well be that the second of the three is the one that Nehemiah is emphasizing, and yet I think that all three are included. "Remember me for good." Nehemiah, no doubt, was including in this idea, "God, remember me for the good things that I have done." Now, whether or not we will admit it, we like to be remembered for the good things that we do. I've had the experience, and perhaps you have too, of believing at least that somebody else got credit for something that I did. I especially felt that way when I was growing up, and my sister, who was 6 years younger than I, seemed to always get the credit for the things that I did, and I got the blame for the things that she did. Now, if you were talking to her, you'd hear another story. But all of us have had that situation happen to where we maybe not really with the proper attitude, but for some reason or other thought, "I just don't get the credit that I deserve. People just don't notice what I'm doing." But Nehemiah realized that God would notice, and that God would remember. Now let me pause long enough in passing to reemphasize in our thinking that everything we are is by the grace of God. And on this point, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting that we can earn our salvation or that we have anything really to boast about. When we're the best we can be, we still would fall short of perfection. And if we had to base our salvation on the good works that we could do and that alone, we would not be able to make it. Everything is by the grace of God. The opportunity of salvation is presented by Him. And there is a sense in which Jesus paid it all from that vantage point. But even Jesus said, as He described that judgment scene in Matthew 25, that the difference between the sheep and the goats, whether or not you do good, you stop and think about it. Here are the sheep over on the right hand. They visited the sick and those in prison. They fed the hungry. They gave drink to the thirsty. They clothed the naked. The only difference seems to be over here on the left hand. Those that are called goats didn't do those things. Now, if that's not a difference between doing and not doing, I would not know how to explain it. And those are not the words of some man. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus said when it comes to the judgment day, the judgment is going to be based upon what you did or didn't do. Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We'll all be before the judgment seat to receive according to the things done in the body, according to those things we've done while we're alive, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And John, as he wrote in Revelation, said at Revelation 14:13, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their works, or they shall rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them." And in the 20th chapter at verse 13, he said the dead's going to be judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. Now, folks, good deeds are important. Not to earn salvation, but to serve God as a part of the overall system of Christianity. It is said about Jesus at Acts 10:38, he went about doing good. And the book of Acts, in fact, opened by referring to a former treatise, perhaps Luke, in which he says, "I've written to you of all the things that Jesus began both to do and teach." Before the teaching of Jesus is mentioned, the actions of Jesus are emphasized. Of what Jesus began to do. What did he do? He did good. He did good things. He did good deeds. He did good service for other people while he was here on this earth. The book of Titus is only 3 chapters. And yet in the 2nd and 3rd chapters, 5 times good works are mentioned. And it's interesting that right in the center of these, really between the 3rd mention and the 4th mention, we have the emphasis placed upon the mercy of God and how we're saved through his mercy. And yet 5 times good works are emphasized. In the 2nd chapter at verse 7, he says we're to be a pattern of good works. At verse 14, zealous of good works. Chapter 3, verse 1, ready for good works. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 14, maintain good works. A pattern, zealous, ready, maintain. That doesn't sound like works are unimportant, does it? I just have a little bit of difficulty when I listen to people who say there's nothing you can do with your that has to do with your salvation. It's all by the grace of God. The availability of it is. But within the boundary of God's grace, Christianity is about doing good. That's what it's about. Living the life in this flesh, Galatians 2:20. While we're here on earth, serving others, and through that service to others, serving God. And so I think when we find Nehemiah saying, "Remember me, my God, for good," that he was in a sense saying, "Remember me for the good things that I have done according to this people." And he was saying, "God, I know you won't forget. And I know when I face you in the day of judgment, you'll bring all those things there and remember them, all the things that I have done." We often hear quoted Ecclesiastes 12:14. "God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad." And I think we have emphasized the bad and have forgotten that the word good is in that verse. We use that verse to say to us, and we even use it to say to our young people sometime, "Now God's going to bring every secret thing into judgment. Everything you do, he's going to bring it. You get out here and do things that are bad, you may think you're hiding it, but God's going to know it, and he's going to bring it to judgment." And that's true. If we do not receive forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ, God will have that record at the day of judgment. That's true. But the same verse that says there are bad secret works indicates there are good secret works. Listen to the verse again. "God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or bad." I'm thankful that God will bring the secret good things to judgment too, aren't you? A lot of times there are at least some people who especially enjoy doing things in the background. You don't find them in the headlines. You don't find their pictures on the society page necessarily. But you find them out doing things. I could take you to some people right now. You could too. People who maybe are not appreciated for what they do, but you know because you've been the recipient, you know they're always doing little things, doing good. And they may be sort of secret to the rest of us. Most of us may never see it, but God sees it. And God appreciates it, and God remembers it. And rest assured, God will bring those secret good things to judgment as well as the other. And so we with Nehemiah today can say, God, remember me for good. Even though I fall short many times of what I might be able to do, and even though I certainly cannot measure up to the kind of life that Christ lived, and even though I may not even be able to do as well as someone else, God, I know that you're going to remember me for the good that I'm able to do in service to thy kingdom. Remember me, my God, for good. But then there is a second possibility of what Nehemiah has in mind as he makes this little six-word statement. Remember me, my God, for good. He may be asking God for blessings that are good. Have you ever told someone who was going on a trip, now, don't forget me. You remember to bring me something. Or maybe in other areas of life, especially if you have a friend that's rich and he's going to write his will, you might want to say, remember me for good. And mean by that, put me in your will or something to come from you. Now, think about that with God. Remember me for good. John 10:10 says that in Christ we have the abundant life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I just don't think he's talking about eternal life there in John 10:10. He may be talking about it in the context, and certainly this kind of life, abundant life, leads to eternal life. But I believe he's talking about what we do day by day here on earth and what we need from God each day. Remember me for good. God, give me the things that I need. Give me the good things that I need. Mark 10:30 says, in this life we have blessings 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. You and I know that it rains on the just and the unjust, and yet there is a special sense in which God promises to bless his children. And even in addition to that, to give them the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. So this morning, as we pray to God, we might pray like Nehemiah did and say, remember me, my God, for good. I need those good blessings that come in my direction. I need the good that comes from heaven. I need to be blessed by my Heavenly Father. Remember me in a good sense. Remember me with the things that I really need. And God has promised that he will do that. In Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. He's talking earlier in those verses there in Matthew 6 about food and raiment and shelter and physical blessings. He says, you put God first, and God will remember you for good. He will remember the things that you need. In recent conversations, at least two or three times, I remember someone saying, you know, I think God will do what he says, but I wish he would hurry up just a little bit. All of us have trouble with patience, and I find myself with that same attitude so many times. I know God will do what he says. I know he'll take care of our needs, but sometimes I find myself wishing he'd hurry up just a little bit. And maybe it's at that time that I need to really pray, remember me, O God, for good, at the appropriate time and in the appropriate way. I'm not for sure that I always know what's best for me or for you. I'm not for sure that I always know how to specifically pray to God, even in times of illness. I'm not for sure that I know how to pray for what is best. I may not know what is best for myself or for someone else, but I believe that God does. And that those blessings that fall out from him, even though they may seem to be what's not needed at the time and may seem to be grievous at the time, are really what's needed the most. And sometimes even later we begin to understand it a bit, though perhaps we'll not understand it completely this side of the judgment. But remember me, O God, for good. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4:12 that the man who follows God will have lack of nothing. Now sometimes it's hard to convince ourselves of that, but that's the promise. And to the Philippians, at Philippians 4:19, he said, God shall supply all our needs. God shall supply all our needs. Remember me, my God, for good. For the good that I have done that's on the record of God, and for the good that I need to receive from God himself in my direction. But there's a third possibility. And I believe that this one is also included. You and I have coined the phrase for good to mean for a long time, indefinitely, or forever. And we may use it in a slang way sometimes to express this, but we use it like this. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be settled. And we settle it and we say, I have settled that for good. What do I mean by that? I mean that's the end of it. It's not going to come up again. I have settled it for good. I think this idea is involved in this statement. Remember me, my God, for good. Don't ever quit remembering me. Don't ever quit blessing me. Don't ever quit. Remember me, my God, for good. Isn't that what Jesus was promising in Hebrews 13, verse 5? I will never. Now, you and I need to be careful about using the word never. Sometimes we use it when we don't really mean what we say. And as the fellow said, never say never. But Jesus did. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus, in a sense, was saying, I am there for good. Whatever comes, an earthquake can disturb the entire earth, a storm can blow, the problems can come. And if you noticed in some of our songs we were singing earlier, that's what we were singing about. Remember me, O God, when all these things happen. Jesus is saying all these things can happen, but let me tell you something. I won't leave you. I'll be there for good. Isaiah 59:1 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now, yes, verse 2 goes ahead and says our sins and iniquities can separate between us and God so that he won't hear. But you see, verse 2 puts the problem with us, not with God. We can sin. We can separate ourselves from God. We can get in a condition so that he won't hear, even to the point of giving us over to a reprobate mind, Romans 1. But God will not leave, and Christ will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Never changes. God says, I'm there for good. Never move. Christ says, I'm there for good. So remember me, O God, for good. May include this idea of saying, God, stick with me. Don't give up on me. Don't quit. Don't forget me. When Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, he said, of course, go and teach all nations. You know the commission. But then he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. I am with you always. Wasn't he saying, I'm there for good? I won't leave you. I'm there for good. When I think of Jesus in this sense, I'm especially reminded of that image that he himself used in the latter part of Matthew 23. He was talking to the scribes and Pharisees and some of those who, I guess, more or less depending on themselves more than they did on Jesus. And those who would not turn to him, especially as he looked out over Jerusalem. And he said, I would have brought you to me, and I would have protected you like the hen protects her little chickens, and you wouldn't do it. When I read that passage, I'm reminded of a story that most of us have heard, maybe told several times, but it's still a good one. A barn burned, and as they were going through the remains of what was there, they found an old hen that had literally burned to death on her nest. And when they raised her up, the little chickens ran out from under her, alive. She had stayed on that nest with her wings spread over her little chickens and burned to death to protect them. Now remember, Jesus uses that image of the hen and the chickens. And I think this burned hen just emphasizes and underscores what he's saying. Jesus, in a sense, is there, come what may. If the fire burns, even against the great fire in the eternity, Jesus is there for good. He won't leave, and he won't change. Now, if we can get these three ideas from this verse and apply them in our lives, it'll help our attitudes and it'll help our lives. Remember me, my God, for good. Six words, three ideas. Remember the good that I have done to serve other people and take that into consideration in my relationship with Christ and with God. Number two, remember me for the good things that need to flow from God to me, the blessings that I need, the good that needs to come from God. And number three, God, remember me for good. Don't ever quit on me. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. And he's made that promise. God says, I know everything that you do. I know the service that you give to others. Others may forget it, but I won't. God says, I know the good things that you need. And I will bless you with those things that you need. I will bless you for good. And God says, I will be there for good. I'll never quit. I'll never stop. I'll never change. Remember me, my God, for good. Remember me for good and never stop loving me and caring for me and helping me and blessing me. I think that's sort of what Nehemiah had in mind. And I know it's what you and I need to have in mind as we pray to God today. God has promised to remember his people. You and I need to be his people. We need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, become Christians and live for him, and then just go about doing good, live for him. And if we quit that, we need to come back and we need to start once again doing good in his service and believing that he will remember us for good. If you're not in the relationship where you're under the protection of those wings, where you're covered from all the difficulties and problems of life by Jesus Christ himself, if you're not in Christ and a faithful servant of Christ, you need to come as together we stand and sing.
He will create anew, make whole again your empty, wasted years. He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring him your every care, if great or small. Whatever troubles you, oh, bring it all. Bring him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart he will relieve and lift up thy head. Blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend, his presence shall be ours unto the end. Without him life would be how dark, how drear. But with him morning breaks and heaven is near.
Be seated, please. Song before the Lord's Supper will be number 178. 178.
By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the word and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread. And as we drink, we see the blood until he come. And thus that dark betrayal night, with the last advent we unite by one bright chain of loving right until he come.
Let us pray. Father, as we partake of this, the body of thy Son, We repent truly of all the sins that we have committed. We ask for guidance in the future to leave this place and do our very best. In Christ's name, amen. Father, we are truly grateful for the gift of your Son. We repent once again, accepting this, the blood of thy Son, for it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we are so richly blessed, and we thank you for the precious gift of your Son. We thank you for all the material possessions that we do enjoy. Father, as we contribute back to thee a small portion of what you've blessed us with, may this be used in your kingdom's work here and abroad. For in Christ's name, amen.